Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
We are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come now, let us reason together. This is Wretched Radio. Twitter, a bit of a blessing. It can be a bit of a curse. Why? Because you're limited in the number of words and letters that you can express. And regularly this happens, where somebody tries to share a thought on a big subject, it can be misunderstood. I mean, there is an option here that it could be miscommunicated or it could be misunderstood, because Twitterosphere, I think that's what it's technically called, the Twitterosphere doesn't lend itself to robust dialogue. And so I would like to do that now with you, especially if you're upset with me for two tweets that I sent out recently. Here are the two tweets that have caused, looks like about 600 people to be upset with me. Let's jump into it and reason together, because I suspect that you and I, if you were upset with the tweets that you're about to hear, we're probably much closer on this issue than you think. What is keeping us from coming together? And I do believe it is understanding words. This happens regularly. There is a semantic range to every word. It can mean many different things, many different shades, many different applications even. And I think that that is what is happening with this whole conversation about the issue of social justice. My question for you is, what does that mean? And I would put money on this if I weren't a Christian. You put 100 Christians into a room and say, write down what social justice is on a piece of paper. And a couple of them might match. But overall, different shadings, different understandings, because it is a broadly used term these days, and we bring our understanding to it. And so if we hear somebody threatening it, it causes us to get very defensive. But is it possible that the confusion is simply coming from a misunderstanding of words? Here are the two tweets. The biblical response to oppression, ? This is from James 5, 7 through 11. Be patient, wait patiently, be patient. Those are the three things that he, it's one message, repeated three times. Be patient. Strengthen your heart. Stop grumbling. Judgment is coming. Those are the bits of advice that James gives in 5, 7 through 11. Then I wrote, not a word about tearing down the oppressor. What do you think that I meant by that? Tearing down the oppressor. Do you think that it meant not to vote? Do you think that it meant not to help people in need? Do you think that it meant not to do whatever is within our personal means, not church means, but our personal means to help human flourishing? I did not mean any of those things. I didn't mean that those aren't, that issues of justice are not of concern to the Christian. Now, we'll get into a wrangle over this regarding Old Testament verses, but the Christian should have compassion for people, a desire to help the orphan, the widow. If we see injustice, to do what we can to stop injustice from happening, especially violence. And as we don't walk down the street, see somebody getting mugged and say, well, I don't get involved in justice issues. We do. So what did I mean by tearing down the oppressor? I meant that we're not Marxists. We're not Stalinists. We are not overturners of culture to break down the system and be revolutionaries. That's what I meant. And I suspect almost everybody out of the hundreds of people who were quite annoyed with me, I suspect we'd agree with that. So two thoughts. One, Twitterosphere doesn't lend itself well to big ideas. Number two, I would choose a different word in the future. Here is my second tweet. The biblical response to oppression. This is based on 1 Peter chapters 1 through 5, which is the whole book. Be holy, love one another, submit to one another, and if you are a pastor, shepherd your flock well. That's chapter 5. Then I said, not a word about fighting injustice. Now, for that, I apologize for not being more explicit. In my brain, I was just looking for a different phrase of tearing down the oppressor. But people read, not a word about fighting injustice, and they were like, whoa, what about people who get sexually abused in the church? And I say, we work like crazy to see that the system that is in place is applied to the criminals so that they can get what they have earned for themselves. Absolutely. And yet, because I admit the phrasing was not as precise as it should have been, and for that I do apologize, because we don't want to offend and hurt one another, and I certainly don't. People thought, well, that means we never care for starving children. The issue of abortion came up many, many times. Don't we care about it? Of course we do. But what I'm trying to get at is the whole idea of tearing down the oppressor, that we are working to see people who are in power and take them out, take them down, and replace it with a system that we think is better. That's what I'm referring to. Now, this gets tricky. We have additional complexities in the 21st century that we didn't have in the first century, when there really weren't mechanisms to tearing down the oppressor. You had Nero. You had Roman armies. The Jewish people, if they'd even formed an army, they wouldn't stand a chance. Nevertheless, we don't see, I don't think, a single verse in the New Testament that says, be anarchists, be revolutionaries, be dissenters who are kicking the goads of the system. That's what I'm talking about. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 is very specific. Verse 13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's what we're commanded to do, and I'm certain nobody is in disagreement over that. We agree on that, correct? Now, let's just drill down a little further. What about Old Testament verses that talk about justice? We'd have to work through all of them, but I believe in general we are seeing an admonition from God, a commandment from God to be just, to do justly. God doesn't like injustice. You repent if you're being unjust. That is a personal command. I still don't think, even though we see that God does not like injustice, God does not like oppression, I believe that predominantly he's telling us to simply be just people. And even in the Old Testament, I don't see God saying, hey, look, the system is corrupt, tear it down, get rid of the Levitical system, get rid of the system that I've got set up coming out of Jerusalem, tear it down. Or the oppression of the Assyrians, tear down that regime. We don't see that. He wants us to be a just people. And he also, it seems, is okay with us being a suffering people. Let's continue in 1 Peter. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only for good. And now please notice, he doesn't say that you should just run away. But he does say that if we can get our freedom, Paul tells us, if you can get your freedom, then get your freedom. That's a good thing. That's fine. But notice, if you're in that system, our job, our primary job is to be good at it and obedient. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if you're beaten for your faults? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He who committed no sin was deceit found in his mouth. He was reviled. He didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. In other words, fighting, tearing down the... Don't do that. But committed himself to him who judges righteously, who bore our sins. So I believe the following. And let's see if we have agreement with one another. I believe we should vote. Agreed? I believe that an individual can be as involved in the political system as he or she chooses because you are trying to do good in that realm. Agreed? I believe that if we see injustice, if we can do something within our power, we do something about it. Agreed? We should be kind to people, charitable, giving food to the hungry. Agreed? Now, having said that, if you believe that social justice is Malcolm X-like revolution, we don't agree. If you believe that social justice is Marxist in any manifestation, then we don't have agreement. But I suspect we do now, don't we? Let us reason together. Is it possible because of the context of Twitter and because of a lack of specificity on my part, we've had a big kerfuffle when we could just really be reasoning together? This is Wretched Radio. This is multiplication at the highest level.
When I first went into ministry, I wanted to train men. So we started a seminary, and the guys in the seminary said, okay, I want to go preach the word, and I want to train men. And the seminary started receiving students from around the world, and they said, well, I want to go back, and I want to preach the word of God, and I want to train men.
And that is precisely what the Master's Academy does. 16 countries, little mini seminaries, led by seminary-trained men at the Master's Seminary, teaching indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Consider the generational impact of that effort. People get saved, they sit under correct preaching, they evangelize rightly, and God is glorified. Would you please consider joining Dr. John MacArthur with the Master's Academy International? Your support really is needed, and it will have such a great impact. Wretched.org/pastor.
Here's an offer you can't refuse. I know you heard that before, but hear me out. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our new evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And other intriguing questions on the road trip to truth. You heard right. We want to give you up to 20 copies of these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But, you knew there had to be one. There are two strings attached. Really more like sturdy fishing line than string. One, you would pay for shipping and shipping only. And two, you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. That's the deal. Order your copies now at wretched.org/purple. And if I may, thanks very much to our gospel partners. It's because of their generous support that we're able to give away the gospel. Get your copies of What Color is Purple now at wretched.org/purple.
Are people getting saved? Are lives being changed because of the ministry of the Tomorrow Clubs? Here's the story of one such life, a young man named Arginia.
Literally, he was like a street rat. And he came to the camp. He heard about Jesus for the first time. And he was invited to come to a Tomorrow Club then that fall. And as he was at the Tomorrow Club throughout that year, he repented, came to know Christ, and then he became like a helper in his Tomorrow Club. Then he became a leader of his Tomorrow Club and a director. And now today he's directing about 40 clubs in the eastern Ukraine in the Zaporozhye region.
Yes. Yes, people are getting saved and lives are being changed. $30 per month disciples, 30 children in Eastern Europe, just like Arginia. You could become a sponsor at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done.
Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two words that are causing a whole lot of trouble. This is Wretched Radio. When
Only
the
two?
Social justice issue, there's a lot of words that cause trouble, but these two in particular, well, many of us have been very concerned about for a long time because of different understandings and shadings of what social justice is. What's the Christian's role in seeing oppression and responding? How do we live in our current culture? What if there really is oppression going on? What is the response? And the word that typically gets used is social justice. The problem is that concept originally, that I think going back to the at least current understanding of social justice, has its etymology in Marxism, that we tear down the oppressor. There's two classes of people, the oppressor and the oppressed. And we need to get rid of the oppressors so that it can be equal outcomes and equal everything for everybody. That's it. That's where it started. And I don't think there are many people who would say, I'm all about social justice, who believe that, that we are supposed to go to war, take up arms, that we are supposed to potentially physically remove people or more, enter into battle and war and shoot at people. I think we all agree that that's not what it is. The problem is people, as soon as you say the word, people respond and go, it's this. And then when they hear somebody who thinks it's that, there's just nothing but tension and problems. And I would like to demonstrate that because I fear this is going to happen. It already is happening on the local level in the churches. I sent out two tweets recently where I stated that the biblical response to injustice and oppression is not to tear down the oppressor, not to be revolutionaries, not to be anarchists. Now, if you want to work inside of the system, great. We work with the system, but we don't fight against the system. That was the point I was trying to make in the tweets. And if I failed that I'm sorry for that. Twitterosphere is not great when it comes to big subject matter. But let's now look at some of the responses to my two tweets that said, hey, it's about waiting, being holy, judgment is coming, stop grumbling, strengthen your heart, be a holy set apart people, be good pastors, be good wives, be good husbands, be good slaves, be good citizens under government. That's our calling. Furthermore, it's to suffer to those injustices the way that Jesus did. He could have gone to war. He could have called down a myriad of angels, but he didn't. He suffered silently. And he's our role model. Why? First Peter's context, I think, is explicitly clear. I think it's summarized in 1 Peter 3:15, so that when our oppressors see our response to their oppression, they want to know about our God. In other words, it's evangelistic. Let me read to you some of the tweets that I've been receiving to see if we can just reason together through some of this so that when we talk about this in our local churches, we aren't punching each other in the nose and thinking the other one is a Marxist or the other one is a white supremacist. Are there some white supremacists? Yes. Are there some Marxists? Yes. I think they're the exception, at least in professing evangelical Christianity. Let's see if we have a lot of agreement. So here was one response to my tweets. Yes, you're absolutely right. Except for Moses, Esther, Daniel, David, Judith, Samson, most of the prophets, Paul, Stephen, etc. Oh, and Jesus himself, the cleansing of the temple and the crucifixion itself, challenging both human power and the power of death. Okay. I don't think that Moses or Esther or Daniel or David or Judith or Samson are social justice stories. I don't think they teach us about social justice. Each one of these stories needs to be handled individually, and we don't have the time for that, but let's just use Moses. Was Moses supposed to tear down the system of Egypt for the life enhancement of the oppressed Jews? No. God was sent, or Moses was sent by God to tell people, let my people go. That's God's direct command in that situation at that time. And I don't believe that we can use that to say, therefore, we can disobey our current government. Therefore, we can determine this issue is of such importance that we're willing to violate the laws so that we can have a better lifestyle. I just don't think that you can do that. And Jesus cleansing the temple, I understand why you would say, well, that's kind of like, that's justice, correct. But it's not social justice in the understanding of tearing down the hierarchy. It's just not. Let's continue here. The be patient, the Lord is coming, is a response to the hopeless lamentation of much of the exile literature. Well, that's true. But please note that even when the Jews were in Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, God didn't call for anarchy. He didn't call for revolution. He delivered them. Continuing with some of the responses. This is from, well, I'll just leave names out of this. Not only is this teaching counter to pretty much the entirety of the Bible, but you're also the white moderate Martin Luther King wrote about in Letter from a Birmingham Jail. I don't think so. I'm saying that when we, for instance, when black people were not allowed to drink out of the white fountain, sit in the back of the bus, am I saying that's fine? No, it's unjust. It's not right. The question is, how do we respond? Can I talk to people about it? Can I call the government to repentance? Absolutely. Do I overturn a bus? Break the plumbing on the fountain? Do I burn down the Capitol? No, none of those things. And I'm certain we're in agreement on this. I'm certain we are. I just think that we are being set up in a word war here, because I think we have more agreement than less. Continuing from somebody else. I think we would still be under apartheid in South Africa had we not took up arms and fought. All right, with this person, I would say, I don't think you should take up arms and fight. For instance, just take a look in our current system how the gay community has so changed our culture, laws, and thinking. They didn't set anything on fire. They didn't take up arms. They didn't kill people. They didn't do nothing violent. And we should be the same. We should be, if you can influence, if you can help with the law, by all means do it. That's what I'm talking about. And I suspect we have full agreement on this. Romans 13, this is from another person, says that rulers are a terror to bad conduct. I like to encourage the government to do its job and terrorize the oppressors. I do too. I absolutely do too. We have agreement on this. And then this fellow writes, whilst I don't agree with violently tearing down oppressors, your tweet isn't entirely true. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Yeah, speak up. Absolutely. If you see somebody being beaten, jump in. Of course. Please note, my two tweets were tearing down the system, fighting, going to war with. We don't do that. Let's work toward these issues. But please note, too, it should be done in a spirit of love, that we're trying to do this for the sake of people and not because we're just torqued at the system. Speaking up isn't violence, but it isn't patient inaction either. We're called to action. Okay, define action. And I think we have agreement. You, I'm almost certain, don't agree with Malcolm X, right? But does that mean that you can't do what the law allows you to do? You can even do a protest if you would like to, because the law allows for that. But when you're at the Capitol protesting, if that's what you choose to do, you can't run into the building and lay down in front of the senator's offices so that they can't get out. Don't we not like that when the liberals do that? We don't do that. Don't we have agreement on most of this stuff? Crack a book, Todd. I was called everything from a white supremacist to the Antichrist. Let us reason together on this. This person says, yeah, I mean, the whole story about that Moses guy obeying God by trying to free his Israelite brothers and sisters from oppressive slavery isn't a viable reference, right? I'm saying I don't think it is. That was to that people at that time, under that circumstance, as a part of the Abrahamic covenant to give that land to that people. And I don't think that you can say that it is therefore the job of every single Christian inside of whatever system that is after the cross allows us to be anarchists. Revolutionaries, lawbreakers, we're law keepers. And so, we could go on, because there's hundreds more tweets. Do we have agreement? Well, I don't think we're wildly off page here. I think the lesson in all of this to me is, wow, when we talk about this issue, before you just respond to somebody, what do you mean by that? I'm going to do that, and I hope that you will do that too, because I suspect regarding social justice, quote unquote, we have more agreement than not. This is Wretched Radio.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled. And they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature. And his wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And not only do I believe we mostly have agreement on the things we disagree, we can still fellowship with one another. This is Wretched Radio. Social justice, it's rearing its head, at least in my Twittering world. I sent out a couple of tweets. A lot of people very upset with that. And please note, I'm not trying to intentionally upset people. I was simply laying forth what I thought was the biblical response to oppression based on two particular sections of scripture. It couldn't possibly include nuances, considerations, and thoughts, but a lot of people got very upset with that. And I believe if we would reason together, we would not only discover, as I think we already have, that we've got a lot of agreement on these issues. We're all using our words too loosely. We're like 38 special. We're holding on loosely. And we should hold on a little tightly to tighter to definitions so that we know what we're talking about. If I said to you right now, skip it, what would you do? You'd maybe pass by something. Maybe you'd start like hopping down the hallway. Skipping.
No, we're safe on that one.
Okay, you hear the word skip, and it depends on the context. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. What is the shading? The word trunk. We use this in Herman Who, available at wretched.org. You use trunk. If I say, get your trunk, what am I talking about? Or go be near your trunk.
Stand
what would you
by
do?
An elephant?
Okay, if you happen to own an elephant, you'd go near the elephant's trunk. Would you go to the rear of your car? Unless, of course, it's a Volkswagen, and I think the trunks are still in front on the old bugs. At any rate, I think some of the fancy sports cars have it that way, too. Or would you go to that shipping container that you inherited from your grandparents? Just think how we could get into an argument over that. When you have one meaning in mind, and I have another meaning in mind, and I think that's precisely what's happening with this social justice debate that we're having. I think the devil, frankly, is being very successful right now in causing a lot of animosity toward one another. This has been the very thing that I personally have been very concerned about from the beginning, that this is being used by Satan himself to put a wedge between believers. Now, do I believe on this issue there can be a wedge? Yes. If you're advocating violence, we got a wedge. If you're advocating that we are supposed to become revolutionaries, we've got a wedge. If you are suggesting that we should set things on fire, that we should impede congressmen from getting to their office, then we've got a wedge. But I think even on the areas of disagreement that we have, we can live together on these things. Case in point, the Southern Baptist Convention is is very politically involved. Do I think that that is the right thing for that denomination, which is the church, to be doing? You know, petitioning and getting involved with lobbyists. Do I think the church should be doing that? No, I don't. Now, do I believe a Southern Baptist can work on those things and go to work for different think tanks, etc.? Of course. Of course I do. In fact, if you want to be a lobbyist, go ahead and do that too. But not as, I don't think, as a Christian. Like, I'm here to tell you what the Bible says about the welfare program. And that's the way we're going to do it. But if you want to be involved in the issue to help people, then you have the right to do that. And I personally don't think that it is wise to have the church being represented as a special interest group in Washington, D.C. I disagree. Do I think Al Mohler is a heretic? Of course not. We just have a different take on that issue. And I would hang with Al Mohler anytime. He wouldn't hang with me because, well, he's just like,
well,
it's just a different gray matter realm. You know. But I love my brothers and sisters in the Southern Baptist Convention. Do you see how I think there's been so much confusion on the definition of words and how we go about doing it? Ben Shapiro and John MacArthur had a conversation recently, and they got into this subject. And I think you're going to hear this, and you're going to, some of it I think you might agree with, some of it you might not agree with. But none of it should cause a massive division amongst us.
What do you think the relationship should be between folks who are in the business of religion and trying to inform people about religion and politics? How often should they be speaking about politics? Should they be doing so openly or just preaching values?
My calling, my mandate, the command from heaven to me is to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the message that I am committed and mandated by God to preach. That doesn't mean I avoid everything political, because I also want to do anything I can to elevate justice and righteousness in the world.
Catch that? Now, I'm not telling you that that's easy to do. And I'm not telling you that we're all going to have agreement every single step of the way. But I think that we can see some definite lines. Not anarchy, not violence, not revolution, not animosity toward a people group who perhaps has more stuff. We can debate the words privilege and advantage and all of those things, but regardless, I'm talking about the Christian response is not anarchy. It's not busting the system. You work with the system if you choose to. And seek justice. That's fine. We're just not going to become terrorists or anarchists or revolutionaries or the people that the government has to go, uh-oh, we got a problem with that group.
And so as a Christian, I want to take responsibility for whatever political avenues that I can go down that are going to increase the order of society, the blessing of society. I want to be pro-family, pro-life, pro-character, pro-virtue, pro-morality. That's mandated to me as well. I'm to be a citizen who submits to the powers that be. We don't start revolutions. We submit to the powers that be, and we work to change the culture from the inside, one soul at a time.
Do we have agreement? Yeah, I'm almost certain. Okay, I can't hear you, but I suspect that we do. Yes, regarding justice. No regarding anarchy. No regarding seeing it set up as the church's job is to overthrow a system. It's not. Now, I think of it particularly. There was a fellow who was a very smart guy. I'm just going to keep his name out of it because you might actually know who it is, who responded to the tweets that I had sent out. And he wasn't at all happy with what I said, that the response of the Christian is not to overthrow the system. He's been working very hard to deal with churches that are covering up sexual abuse. And he understood that my statement of not fighting against injustice, tearing down the oppressor, meant we shouldn't care about those issues or be involved in those issues. That's not at all what I suggested. We have regularly here talked about the issue of sexual abuse in the church. We regularly talk about the issue of abortion. I have to confess to you, we don't often talk about the issue of racism. And the only reason for that probably is because in my world, it's just not something I'm confronted with very often. It's not for any other reason than top of mind. But we do talk about these issues. We don't want children being molested. We've made this perfectly clear. If somebody is abusive and somebody in the church finds out about it, you don't call the pastor first. You call the police. Now, we agree on that. But I don't think that that's Marxian social justice. Do you see how we agree on that? And if I said to you, that's what social justice is, I think that you and I would agree. Because our definitions and understanding of social justice are just plain different. John MacArthur and Ben Shapiro continuing their conversation.
A lot of the issues that you talk about are inherently political. They may not have been political 50 years ago, but when you say pro-life, pro-family, pro-religion, these actually do have real-world consequences in the world of politics.
Yeah, it was a little different 50 years ago when we might have been talking about some sort of social structure and economics. We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about morality now. We're talking about whether we kill babies or don't kill babies. We're talking about what is marriage. We're talking about what is a family. What is male? What is female? Those are the issues now that have made their way into the political world so that it's fraught with moral issues. And if you are one who has a moral authority, which would be the word of the living God, the Creator, then your responsibility in any society is to make sure that God's moral standards are heard.
Are heard, not imposed. Do we agree? No theocracy? Do we agree with that? That we are not going to try to turn America into ancient Israel? Of course we do. I mean, well, maybe there's some folks who wouldn't agree in that. But I think overall we do, don't we? And even if we don't, you're not a heretic, I'm not a heretic. Let's work through this stuff. And I suspect that the father of lies is at the root of the disagreements, dissensions, some animosity, some name-calling, all because of a lack of understanding and agreement on words. Come, let us reason together. This is Wretched Radio. More. More. We want more.
Last year, we counseled over 29,000 women and over 7,900 babies were saved last year.
That is Dan Steiner from preborn.org giving us statistics on the success of ultrasounds administered at preborn clinics around the country. Would you like that statistic to increase? Would you like to see more babies get saved? Would you like to see more mommies and daddies get saved? Please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. For just $28 per ultrasound, you will be saving the life of a child 80% of the time the mommy sees the ultrasound. It is an outstanding statistic. And we want more, more, more. If you do too, please visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched, and provide as many ultrasounds as you possibly can.
Thank you for joining us. Glad you could spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Can we talk? Biggest question? Nope, not that marvelous DVD that was handed out to over 1 million people. Great gospel presentation with Vody Bachum, Ray Comfort, Emil Zwayne, and Todd. Now, while I am talking same great presentation, I'm now talking biggestquestion.org. Yep, now you can share this marvelous gospel presentation just by sending someone you know who needs the gospel the address. BiggestQuestion.org. You see, thanks to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners, now you can share the gospel for free by simply sending someone who needs the gospel the webpage address. Email it, text it, or if you haven't sent them out yet, Christmas cards? BiggestQuestion.org. And because of our gracious gospel partners, it's free. BiggestQuestion.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
In some parts of Africa, As few as one Christian in 10 has a Bible. It means you cannot do what you and I did this morning. Open the Bible, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It also means you cannot be a faithful Berean. You can't go home after the worship service on Sunday and check it out.
No wonder why there's so much false teaching proliferating overseas. People don't have Bibles. Fellow believers are praying that you will respond to my encouragement to support Bible League International. For $5 per Bible, you can answer their prayer and put a Bible right into their hands. Bible League International, for decades without scandal, they are efficient and they are reaching unbelievers, preaching the gospel to become believers, and then giving them the word of God. What do you say? $5 a Bible, BibleLeague.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes a standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to beat the horse to death.
But, didn't you know we're not supposed to say beat the horse to death? We're supposed to feed the horse to Fed or something.
You'd think that you are reading what's in front of me right now. This is Wretched Radio. PETA wants us to stop using anti-animal language. So, for instance, instead of beating a dead horse, feed a fed horse. See what they did there? Because otherwise, I guess you're discriminating against animals or inciting violence. I guess instead of saying kill two birds with one stone, feed two birds with one stone. Instead of bringing home the bacon, bring home the bagels. Instead of taking the bull by the horns, take the flower by the thorns. See what they did there? Nevertheless, at the risk of
something,
feeding a fed horse. Nah, it doesn't really have the same thing, does it? At any rate.
Well, you know, those are some good ideas, but I always say there's two ways to skin a cat.
No, there's two ways.
You need to go read the list, Joey, and start studying.
To win a... Hang on, let me work on that. I'll get back to
you. You get back to us on that so that it's PETA safe. Because these days... here's another... Words. They're really important. They do have meetings. And they're nothing to be messed around with. Where'd it go? Okay, so right here...
We'll wait.
In my hand is a bottle of San Pellegrino sparkling natural mineral water. Now, before you think I'm being all hoity-toity, I'm not. First of all, I'm not a fan of sparkling water. Mrs. Friel brought this in because Phil is. He likes sparkling, and so she bought this. It was probably on sale. Nevertheless,
so Phil is hoity-toity?
No, I don't know what he is, but we gave him a glass of this, and the rest was remaining. 2 days later, I'm going to drink it because I'm not going to throw a 99-cent bottle of water away.
Yes.
As soon as I said that I'm drinking natural sparkling mineral water, Tony, what did you say?
I'd have to open it for 2 days and let the bubbles dry out.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it it's hoity and toity?
And what was my response? What was my Italian anecdote?
You said, yes, it is in Italian.
I did not. I said, if you go to Italy... You sit down at the table, they'll say, will you want water? And that's exactly what I did. And I said, yes. And the waiter, waitress, whoever it was, said, with gas? I got confused. What?
Shouldn't that come after the meal?
Just water. I don't need petrol for my car. Just water would be just fine. Well, they meant bubbles. Okay, words. They have semantic range. They have different meanings, different cultures, different context. And I think we're having a lot of fights over social justice that are not necessary. They're not necessary. We are mostly in agreement. And the things where we disagree, I don't think need to be issues where we dissent, fight, and get nasty with one another. I think the devil is digging this a ton. And we all need to sharpen up our language. I sent out two tweets. The language on it was not as precise as it needs to be because it just opened up a box of confusion and frustration and annoyance. I'm sorry for that because that isn't what I intended. But because words can have different meanings to different people, it caused a bit of a firestorm. Now, let's see if we have agreement. You're going to love this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Preborn.org. It's a wonderful ministry. They provide free ultrasounds to women who are in crisis pregnancies. $28 buys an ultrasound. The baby lives. The mommy hears the gospel. Thousands of babies have been saved this year alone. Thousands of souls have been saved this year alone because of Preborn. Many of you are supporting it. Would like to encourage you to support Preborn in this war against the unborn child. Would you please give preborn.org/wretched? Anybody going to disagree with what I just said? No. Would I call what I just did social justice? No. I would call it being a Christian trying to save babies' lives. That's what that ministry is about. That's what we're about. I call that Christian charity, Christian kindness. I call it being good to people and speaking up for the defenseless, fighting for life in the means that are prescribed in the Bible and by my government. It's both things. But I wouldn't call it social justice because I believe that social justice has a Marxian component, that it's Marxist. And if we're not careful with our language, then we're going to be getting into all kinds of fights. You and I would agree supporting preborn's a good thing, right? Okay, I don't think that that's fighting injustice. I wouldn't put it that way. I would say that's just doing good. See how we can get into argument? And now, you've got some things that you're kind of into. Maybe the issue, and for a lot of this particular kerfuffle, it does appear to be about race, although I certainly didn't talk about that in my tweets. It just seems to be coming up a lot because a lot of people are pointing out the fact that I'm white. Nevertheless, it seems that these days a lot of people want to see racism eradicated. And who of us doesn't? We all do, right? And how do we go about doing that? Well, that, I think, is a conversation that we should have, and we're going to have some variances on that. I think we would agree, though, we preach to the world and to any system that is inherently racist, repent, stop, you're sinning. We agree on that. I just wouldn't call that social justice or fighting injustice. I wouldn't put the phrase that way. You can, if you want to say that's fighting injustice. Okay. But we don't have a disagreement, do we? We just have a different understanding of what words mean. We shouldn't be getting into fights over it. I'm telling you, this is currently happening in 1,000 churches or more, maybe thousands of churches, because this is a big, complex issue. Let me share with you from Charles Kessler. I received this in the mail from Hillsdale College, their Imprimis publication. Over 3.9 million readers monthly. Charles Kessler, real smart guy. He is the editor for Claremont Review of Books. Let's learn something about politics together from this fellow. We have described our current political scene as a cold civil war. A cold civil war is better than a hot civil war, but it is not a good situation for a country to be in. Underlying our cold civil war is the fact that America is torn increasingly between two rival constitutions, two cultures, two ways of life. This is going to demonstrate and reveal again, you and I, brother, sister, we're on the same page. Political scientists sometimes distinguish between normal politics and regime politics. Here's the definition. Normal politics happens within a political and constitutional order and concerns means, not ends. In other words, the ends or principles are agreed upon. Debate is simply over means. That's where you probably fall, right? I hope so. I do. Because you're going to hear that the other side, the regime politics, sounds an awful lot like what liberals are up to these days. By contrast, regime politics is about who rules and for what ends or principles. It questions the nature of the political system itself. Who has rights? Who gets to vote? What do we honor or revere together as a people? I fear America may be leaving the world of normal politics and entering the dangerous world of regime politics. I think that's the line for the Christian. We don't change the you're a constitutionalist, most likely, right? We don't fight to get rid of the Constitution. We don't burn American flags. That's not what we're about. Continuing. One vision is based on the original Constitution as amended. This is the Constitution grounded in the natural rights of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in 1787, ratified in 88. We may call this the conservative Constitution. What did the original authors intend? We're going to live under that system. You're about that, right? So am I. Now, does that mean that we should be going to war to one another because we disagree on an understanding of social justice? We don't disagree. We just are using a word differently. We agree on principles almost entirely, almost not exclusively, not completely, but almost entirely. We agree on those things. We're just using words badly, and wow, is the devil using this to make a lot of Christians fight with one another. The other vision is based on what progressives and liberals for 100 years now have called the living constitution. It implies the original constitution is dead, or at least on life support, and that in order to remain relevant to our national life, the original constitution must be infused with new meaning, new ends, and therefore with new duties, rights, and powers. You reject that, right? So do I. And therefore, I believe that this is another demonstration that when it comes to seeing injustice in the world, you and I are on the... You're not an anarchist. I know it. I hope you don't think I'm a white supremacist. Yikes. We're just using this word social justice, and it is causing... I'm telling you, the devil... I think we've invoked him three times, and we don't talk about the devil three times a year here. I'm telling you, he is in these details, and he's making a hash of things. As we move forward, let us assume the best of one another. I'm not going to assume you're a Marxist. Don't think I'm a white supremacist, and I don't care about people or racism or babies. Come, let us reason together and let the world know we're Christians by our love. And until tomorrow... Go serve your king.